Okay, dear Dhamma friends, so we have come to the Dhamma sermon of this retreat. May you give your consent by saying Sadhu Sadhu. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ච පස්සායතනෝ අයම් භික්ඛු පුරිසෝ තී Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, typically in our retreats we are trying to support our practice in various ways. So this is something that we typically tell during the beginning of each retreat, because it is necessary to understand the value of different aspects. So particularly in Anungahita Sutta, therefore Buddha says, if one is expecting some kind of freedom of mind, freedom of defilements through the development of the wisdom, so then one has to support particularly in five ways. Firstly, by the improvement or the establishing oneself in the sila, morality. So therefore, when you are coming to the retreat, so you'll be observing 8 precepts. So that's, in a way, it's a kind of a preparation of your mind, so that you have some kind of a feeling, now I am protecting a certain sila, which is not the regular sila, regular precepts that I am typically observing. Rather, now I am dedicated to practice. So you commit yourself. So you have some kind of a satisfactory feeling, you have some kind of a pleasant feeling that now I am a better person. I was just limiting myself to 5 precepts. Now I have gone through some kind of a commitment. So during this particular period, I am making a special effort. I am making some kind of a commitment. So I am now trying to complying with the Aryans. So trying to adhere to their way of life. So you give up certain typical pleasures and you are trying to adhere to certain precepts. So this is kind of a voluntary activity. It is not something putting onto you. Rather, you request wholeheartedly, and then by seeing the advantage, you are preserving it. You are observing it. So there is no one coming and checking whether you are observing any of these precepts, or rather protecting any of these precepts. Rather, you yourself know how well I am protecting these precepts. So when you feel that I am now an honest person, I am kind of a maturity. So it is not that we are behaving well in order to satisfy our teacher, in order to show our some kind of a personality and get some kind of a material gain from the society. It is not that we are trying to build up some kind of a personality. Rather, we understand the benefit of maintaining precepts, maintaining proper behavior through the bodily behavior and the verbal behavior, well conduct. So while understanding this, you yourself request these precepts, and honestly, humbly, we are trying to adhere to them. It does not mean that we can become perfect in one shot. Rather, we are trying our best to behave well. So more and more you behave like this, so this way of life becomes your norm. So it no more kind of a burden, it's no more kind of a controlled or conditioned type of behavior, rather it becomes your natural way of life. And again, there are many benefits that you, as we discussed during the discussion also, so your mind starts to become little fearless. So it happens slowly, slowly, slowly. As you get the benefits from the sila, so you become fairly fearless. And as a result, you don't have much regrets. Because you know, in this particular period, I was behaving really well. I deserve some kind of a benefit. Now I can attend to the development of the mind. because I am now a good person. So you have this some kind of a pleasant feeling, and Buddha called it as anavajja sukha. So there is no any kind of a fault that I deliberated it. I didn't do anything purposely which harm myself or which harm others. So now I am a good person. No, so I now deserve some kind of a further growth. So if you are thinking like this, some positive thinking automatically happens. And Buddha call it as samadhi sangvattanika sila. So when you are protecting sila like this, so you have some pleasant feeling in the mind, and it really helps for the meditation. It really contributes for the concentration, because it is essential to have a positive mind for meditation. If you have a kind of a depressed, negative kind of attitude, it is very difficult to build up the mind. Rather, if you have some certain reasons to be glad, reasons to be happy, then on top of that, you can develop the mind. So now, how we prepare that mind, that glad mind, is by protecting virtues. So therefore, Buddha says, protecting sila is one of the support that we have to do. And next, Buddha says, one develop some kind of a understanding about the Buddha's teaching. How one has to establish oneself in morality, how one has to develop concentration, how one has to develop wisdom. Likewise, there are many aspects of the Buddha's teaching, and we are then and there we listen to his teaching, so we clear up our doubts and our mind becomes delighted about his teaching, because his teaching is something which reduces our defilements. It is against the defilements. If we are listening to some Dhamma sermon, it gives some kind of a happiness which is not derived from the sensual pressure, rather some kind of a renunciation, some kind of a letting go, and it is based on the wisdom. Therefore, understanding or listening to Dhamma contributing in many, many ways. Therefore, Buddha says our practice has to be time to time supported by listening to Dhamma. Again, sometimes even when we are listening to Dhamma, it itself cannot remove our doubts. We may have certain areas not clear, and we may have certain doubts. And even in our practice, when we reach certain areas, our mind may be sort of vague about what is going on. So therefore, we need to discuss with another person, someone who believe that has gone at least a little bit beyond this experience which I am currently going through, and someone who has some understanding about Dhamma. So you find that kind of a Kalyana Mitta, and then you honestly speak out, honestly explain your kind of a doubt, honestly share your experience. So this way, Buddha says, if we are engaged in discussion, sakaccha anugrahita, so our doubts become clear and our path become straight, and we can continuously practice. We get the energy to practice. If we have some wavering mind, if we have some kind of a hesitation, then it's very difficult to put forth effort. But when we are in a very straight mind, when the path is very clear, you have the confidence, then you can get into practice. Therefore, Buddha says, time to time, we need to clear our doubts. We have to approach well-versed people, some practitioners, and we have to share our experience, speak out, and then the other person, to as much as possible, he will clear the doubts. He will help to establish your faith. So therefore, this sakaccha anugrahita, the support which is derived from the discussion, is really important. So after that, Buddha is telling that time to time we have to support our practice with samatha, concentration practice, because it is necessary to have a unwavering mind. It is necessary to have a concentrated mind. Because if our mind is scattered, so it's very difficult to focus it to a one particular object and see its very nature. Because the objects, or what we call phenomena, is not something extremely gross. Rather, we have to go to the very minute level, primordial level, and for that we need a fair amount of concentration. It is therefore necessary to develop the concentration, and not only for that, even to have some kind of a bliss, some kind of a happiness, which is not derived from the sensual pleasures, but through our own mind, by at least for temporary subsiding defilements, subsiding hindrances, you can have some kind of a pleasant feeling, kind of a blissful feeling. So that is time to time Buddha says you need to put your mind on that, so that you feel that energy, you feel that you are being sort of refreshed, your mind being refreshed, and you therefore then have a more energy to further practice. Therefore, this samatanuggahita, therefore Buddha says, time to time you have to practice, you have to put your effort on that and calm down your mind, and then the well-concentrated mind can see the truth, can see the things as they truly are. Samahito bhikkave yatha bhutam pajanat. So then the wisdom practice is an ongoing thing, and it's a lifelong practice, and you even come to some kind of maturity that once you reach certain region or to some degree of development, you understand it is not that I am controlling this process, rather it is the causes are contributing, and there are many causes contributing to this practice, so you are just allowing causes to happen, you are preparing the causes, accordingly the results will come, rather than trying to grow on a result-oriented base. So you are simply fulfilling the causes, preparing the causes without expecting much. So when you are expecting too many things, our mind becomes burdened. We feel heavy. Rather, when we are contributing causes without expecting many things, then we have some kind of a faith developed and we are doing it wholeheartedly. And there is no any kind of a burden. So we do it like a Buddha's duty. Like when you are paying respect towards the Buddha, and suppose you are offering some flowers, you are not expecting anything in return. You are doing it as a pleasant deed. Similarly, when you are meditating also, you are simply following the schedule, honestly trying to be adhere to that. And then you feel some kind of an energy, some kind of a ongoing practice, which is not burden. And the timetable does not become a hindrance to you. Rather, you are just very humbly adhere to it. And when you have that kind of a relaxed attitude, the wisdom can grow. Because when you have an equanimous mind, that is the field for the development of the wisdom. So therefore, if one supporting one's practice time to time on these five ways, Buddha says one can reach the freedom of mind, cheto vimutti. And again, then when mind grasps, at that time, at that very moment, when you are applying various vipassana techniques and release your mind, that is basically applying wisdom and release your mind, that is called the panyayamutti. So this chetoyamutti and panyayamutti go hand in hand. So ultimately we can, this way, we are improving the wisdom, increasing the wisdom, and we promoting the defilement-free mind. So this way Buddha says one can, through the practice, ongoing practice, one can reach the final goal. So having said that, so we are now in the Sutta Anuggahita, we are trying to build up confidence through the listening to the Buddha's teaching. So in our last month Dhamma sermon, we have selected a new topic that is called Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. Dhatu Vipanga Sutta you found in Majjhima Nikaya, and that is one of the very beautiful sutta, which is based on a situation where Buddha is teaching to a disciple that the disciple even doesn't know that he is the Buddha. It's a really touching point where Buddha doesn't want to even tell that he is the Buddha. If the listener can understand the Dhamma, that very understanding helps to see the Buddha. So, Dhammam passati, yomam passati. So, if someone is seeing the Dhamma, realizing the Dhamma, through that you can see me. So, it's a really beautiful saying that Buddha is telling, yo Dhammam passati, somam passati. So, here the situation is that one king who get to know that Buddha has arisen in the world and his name is King Pukkusati, and he got the message from King Bimbisara. So King Pukkusati is far away from Rajagaha, where King Bimbisara was ruling, and they are actually unseen friends. So King Pukkusati sent certain gifts to King Bimbisara, and King Bimbisara sent certain gifts to King Pukkusati, so they are unseen friends. So one day, King Pukkusati sent certain very precious jewels and all such precious items to King Bimbisara. So after seeing these precious items, precious gifts given by King Pukkusati, King Bimbisara says, "What is the best thing which I can offer to my friend?" So he thinks, in this world, what is precious more than the triple gem? So he decides, I better tell the message of the Buddha to King Pukkusati. So he writes Buddha's teaching very briefly in a golden plate, and then he sends the message to King Pukkusati and make a special request that before you look at these papers, you need to wash yourself, have to have some kind of a calm mind, and you have to be only on yourself, and if possible, you go to the highest place in your palace. So therefore, King Pukkusati go to the highest place in his palace, and his mind is fairly calm, and he has washed himself. So he's in a very pleasant attitude. Now he is looking at the paper. It has the message of the Buddha, and he become really delighted by looking at it. And it is said, more and more he look at it, more and more you understand, more and more he understood it, and his mind become concentrated. And he can even enter jhana. It's a beautiful incident. And after going through this, there's a dramatic change happened in his life. So he thinks, I am a king. It's quite difficult to fully adhere to the Buddha's teaching or wholeheartedly understand his teaching, I better renounce. So he make a big decision. What he did was, he sent a messenger or one of his subordinate, one of his supporters to the town and get a robe and a ball purchased, and he himself put the robes and took the ball and came out of the palace as a typical person. And then he is coming in search of Buddha towards Sravasti. Unfortunately, he don't know the exact place, and he is now going past the Sravasti. But Buddha knew that he is approaching. So then Buddha also going towards the place where now Venerable Pukkusati is going to stay. There also is very beautiful that there's a potter's storehouse, and Venerable Pukkusati approaches that area and understood, now I can't go to meet the Buddha, it is too late, almost night. So he approached the potter and he asked, is it possible for me to stay in your storehouse just one night? Storehouse, this potter also a kind person. He says, it's all right. The storehouse is empty. Enough space is available there. So just be there. It's my pleasure to have you as a guest. So Venerable Pukkusati enters in. So Buddha also comes to the same place. And beautifully, he's asking permission from potter. And potter also, without immediately telling, okay, you go and stay there, he's telling, before you arrive, there's another monk already arrived and I have given the place to him. If he doesn't mind, you also can stay. I have no objection. So you better go and seek his permission. So Buddha also now going to the Venerable Pukkusati and he humbly asks, is it okay if I too stay just one night in this storehouse? And this Venerable Pukkusati says, no problem. There is enough space available. So please join with me. Now Buddha come there and Venerable Pukkusati not interested about talking. He just attain absorption and he is meditating. Because as you all know, when you earn absorptions, what any kind of a samadhi, concentration, it is so beautiful, so delightful at the beginning. So he is now enjoying it, very blissful, and he has entered jhana and he is staying there. And Buddha found he is in a very delightful way. Venerable Pukkusati, he is enjoying the concentration, and Buddha himself entered another concentration, and he is also secluded and he is also silent. After a while, Buddha understood that the Venerable Pukkusati has emerged from concentration and his mind also now very ready to accept the Dhamma or listen to the Dhamma. And now Buddha just start to have a little chat in today's terms with Venerable Pukkusati. And he's asked, who is your teacher? And Venerable Pukkusati says, my teacher is someone called Gautama, the Buddha, who has come from Sakyan family, and he is my teacher. So then Buddha is asking, have you seen him? No, I haven't seen him. If you saw him, could you recognize him? No, still I can't recognize him. And then Buddha says, is it okay if I tell some words, preach some Dhamma? So Venerable Pukkusati says, it's all right, I can just listen. Oh, it is not that Buddha now doesn't tell, I am the Gautama the Buddha. No, there is no such kind of marketing. So rather, Buddha is now giving the message to Venerable Pukkusati. So Venerable Pukkusati actually addressing the Buddha as a friend, not as the teacher, just as a friend. Now when you just met someone and he is telling, I am going to tell a story, would you like to listen to it? So as a courtesy, you tell, okay, it doesn't matter, I can listen, something like that. So now Buddha slowly, he is explaining Dhamma. So last time we discussed one aspect, he is telling, Cha dhaturo ayam bhikkhu pariso. This person, so-called person, is six elements. So we discussed that point, basically five elements during last month. And next, I thought of taking the other statement that Buddha says, Cha passayatano ayam bhikkhu puriso. Now typically each one of us living in our own world, we each one of us have little I in ourselves. So I am so and so, he is so and so, she is so and so. So we have our different worlds. We are living in this different worlds. And I am a male, I am a monk, okay, I am this of age, I am this tall, all these are the parameters defining I. So this is my education, this is this and this is that, like that, there are so many things defining I. So, and we individually are, we think that we are a person. I am a person. I am a man, I am a woman, I am a mother, I am a sister, whatever way, we have different conventional things. So beyond that, now Buddha is talking. Now this person is nothing but six sense bases. Now this, today I thought of discussing on top of that, based on that. Six bases, six sense bases. What are they? Chakku sampassayatanam, base of eye contact. Sota sampassayatanam, base of ear contact. Ghana sampassayatanam, base of nose contact. Jivha sampassayatanam, base of tongue contact. Then body, this kaya sampassayatanam, base of body contact. Then mano sampassayatanam, base of mind contact. So is it correct to tell that the person is merely these six bases of contact? According to Buddha, we have to check, is it true? Now, when we are looking at something, then say we are seeing something, then we are a seer. When we are listening something, listening to some sound, then we are a listener. Similarly, when we are smelling something, we are a smeller. When we are experiencing some kind of a taste, we are a taster, whatever the term we can use. So likewise, at a given time, it is so rapidly operating. At a given time, two faculties, two sense bases cannot operate. But it appears like while we are seeing, we are listening. At the same time, I am feeling as well. Say for example, now I am talking, at the same time I am seeing, still I am listening, I am sitting as well. It's very much like different faculties are operating at the same time. It is so rapid, by the way. Say for example, just to give a simple example in today's technology, you know, in the today's computers, you have different programs you can simultaneously open. So you have Microsoft Word, you have Excel, you have Outlook, or you have calculator, say you have the web application, so that different applications are there. So it appears like all are running at the same time. But internally, if it has only one processor, all these different applications are sharing the same process, same processor. And processor does some kind of a time sharing. And each program is given a different time share. Processor has a kind of a clock, and it is so rapid, and it depicts us that all the programs are running at the same time. It's kind of a multitasking, multiprocessors, different threads and processors are there. So anyway, so even today's technology has given the illusion in the computers, appears like different programs are running at the same time. But actually, it has single clock, as a single processor. Suppose nowadays there are multiprocessors as well, but if you consider even a single processor machine, single processor computer, still it can behave like a computer which has the capacity to have different programs running at the same time. So something similar is available in ourselves as well. It is so rapidly operating in ourselves as well. While we are looking, we can listen, we can smell, and we can feel, and even we can think. And how much we are trapped in it when we are seeing, so we don't stop at that very sight, so we start to think about what we have seen. So the mind is going on and on about what we have seen. Suppose if I get bored about what I am seeing right now, then I change the object of what I am seeing. Suppose you are looking at TV and one program is at the beginning very delightful, really say adventurous. Now slowly it become bored and bored. Now you turn the other channel. Now another program is there. Now you are looking at it. Even your eyes are open. Even the mouth is open. So like that, you are enjoying it. And again it becomes boring and boring. You put another channel. Now a song is going. Now you are listening and seeing the dance and all these things. Now the eye is there. So now you are putting fair amount of objects to the eye. Suppose you feel a little tired, I better listen to some music. So you just close your eyes, you put say some chair and you just have a comfortable sitting and you switch on your say different whatever the device. So and then you put the very best music on it and now you are enjoying the music. Suppose it becomes somewhat boring, you put another CD and you start to listen to that. Suppose it is now become boring, so you switch on the radio channel and you tune to that and you listen to that. Even if you feel a little bored on it, you put another channel and you listen to that. How many channels are there to entice our ears now? Daily increasing. And suppose if you now feel a little tired about listening, okay, you can go to say your perfumes and all these things and you can apply yourself and all these things, you can have a really pleasant feeling. And you have a very nice flower vase kept on your table and it is giving a nice fragrance and you have a really amazing feeling in your room. Like you are in a very kind of a botanical garden or something like that. You are so delighted to different things. And as women, most of you may know better than me, so you different days, you have different perfumes. So on Monday you have one kind of perfume, Tuesday you have another kind of perfume. So likewise, you are enjoying to the maximum the smell. Then you feel now hungry. Your mother or your servant is now ready with your feast and you go and enjoy that. So different days, different menus are available. So you are enjoying to the max. So if you don't feel much thrilled in your house-made food, you go to now there are Chinese food, Italian food, I don't know, very many things are available. So you go to different hotels, you enjoy and can't explain to that much things are available. Now I heard that many people are not even cooking at home. They go and enjoy different hotels and all these things. Because we are now become so delighted in the taste. And then now say you have your husband, your wife or your kids or whatever the way. Now you can enjoy the body as well. If not any of these are available, you start to think. You just go to a particular corner and there are many incidents have happened in the past and you start to think about it. thinking, thinking, thinking. If the lustful thoughts are coming, so it's going to fantasies, even sexual fantasies. Thinking, 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 enjoying, enjoying, enjoying. Get trapped in it. If the mind is going towards some hateful things, thinking, 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 you burn with hatred. If there are certain situations where your mind get entangled, deluded, more and more you think, you get more and more deluded. Thinking, thinking, thinking. Just to give a small simile, suppose you have a kid and you are taking him to a supermarket. And now there are many toys are available, many fruits are available, many candies are available, sports items are available, books are available, 1001 things are available. And you are just taking the kid to a, say, toys shop. And he is crying, crying, Mama, Papa, I need this, I need this, I need this. So you are buying and giving him. Okay, he now, all right. Now you are approaching some fruit corner. Now he's asking, Mama, Papa, I need this, I need this, I need this. So you buy and give something. He's all right now. Otherwise he's crying. Now you approach some food corner. So he's now crying, crying, I need ice cream, I need chocolate, I need this, I need that. Fortunately you have money, say for example, and you are buying that. Now he stopped crying. Now there's a beautiful toy house. He need again he start to cry. I need bat, I need badminton racket or whatever the things. Now he is crying, crying, crying. So you buy that. Now he stop crying. Now you are approaching another place where beautiful say clothes are available. Now he's crying. The other one has that and I need also that. And why don't you buy it to me? Even now you are very rich. I am with this poor clothes. Just buy me, buy me, buy me. Give me, give me. Now you buy that. Constantly he is asking whatever the thing he is interested. And we are constantly supplying it. Can you apply the same simile to our senses now? Now when our eyes are asking something, we are now giving. Okay, now my eyes asking, I need to see something, I need to see something, I need to see a movie. Now we are opening the TV and watching. Now it's somewhat not crying. A little bored, now he's crying, I need music, I need music, I need music. Now he's giving some music. Now he's again bored. Now he's asking, I need good smells, smells, smells. Now we are giving that. Then he's not crying. Now he's hungry. He's asking, I need this, I need that. Now he's giving food. So if you apply the same simile, so as adults, we are behaving like children. So we are simply satisfying the senses like this. So constantly, our faculties, our senses are asking something. So we are trying to pacify them. We are trying to satisfy them. Sensual gratification. Through this way, is there any person fully satisfied? Now there are millionaires, billionaires, presidents, treasurers, kings. All the people are there, they have the capacity to buy anything, to look at anything, to listen to anything. Can we find someone who has fully contented by having these pleasures? So we have six senses and time to time one of them are crying. And each time like that kid, we are trying to give something and to satisfy him. Stop crying now. And after that, another sense is crying. So you are giving that. Then another sense is crying. You are giving that. So constantly, you are trying to satisfy these six senses. And what is the escape then? So what is the solution? It is like, say for example, when you are thirsty, if you are simply drinking say salty water, at the beginning it appears like, okay, I am now satisfied. But salt generates further thirst later. So in a way, in the trouble. And Buddha giving a really deep simile, he says, suppose there's a person with the wounds in entire body, kind of sauce kind of thing, and this so smelly and pus coming out, and so suffering going on, and there is no proper medicine for him, yet he hasn't found any medicine. What he does is, there's some kind of a fire, you know, kind of a furnace available, and it is giving some kind of a heat. You know, when there's a ongoing boil available in the body, and if you are coming to a closer to a fire, it giving some kind of a release. It's because it's the heat. The heat gives some kind of a release to this wound. It's a kind of a temporary release, temporary satisfaction. And Buddha is telling the way of sensual satisfaction, sensual gratification is something like that. A person, he's giving it him as a kind of a leper who is trying to cure his wounds by taking fire. So we are doing very much the same. So as meditators, so let's look at what is the solution then. So solution actually lies in a long-term plan. You can't reach to a quick solution. So one type of solution is when you are looking at something, rather than get carried away by that, you are trying to maintain some kind of a restraint. So without, suppose for example, if you are looking at something, before looking at it, your mind was peaceful. And when you are looking at it, if it is generating too many defilements and you start to burn, then you better close your eyes. It's kind of a restrainment called Indriya Sangvara. So restrainment in the faculties. Similarly, your mind was peaceful, and when you are listening to something, you start to burn with defilements. But you were peaceful before. Then you better be away or go away from that sound. And if you are feeling something, if you are smelling something, again if you feel burnt with defilements, you better avoid it. Similarly, when you are tasting something, if your mind become cloudy, your mind become somewhat blurred, you better avoid it. Again, if you are going through certain sensations, if your mind become scattered, you better avoid it. Similarly, if you are thinking something, the defilements are improving, growing, we need to stop it. We need to avoid it. So one option Buddha is giving is the sense restraint. It's like a boat when you are traveling or when you are sailing in sea or river. If you make a hole, if there's a hole, the water starts to come in. You may try to take it out again and again, but still again and again new water is coming in. So unless you stop this, you can't have a permanent solution. So if there is an opportunity to prevent this, prevent the defilements, so we better prevent it. Before start to get defiled, before start to get burnt. Chakkuna rupan dissa na nimittak gahi, nanu byanjanak gahi. So when you look at something, don't go to too much detail if it is giving you unnecessary tension. If it is defiled your mind, if it if it pollutes your mind, then better avoid it. That is one aspect. Again, when you are looking at something, if possible, try to limit it just seeing. Ditte ditta mattam bhavissati. Similarly, if you listen to something, don't go to detail, just keep it at listening. When you are sensing something, just keep it just as a smell. Don't try to even name it. If you are tasting something, it is just food. No need to trying to find out some kind of a delight on it. So likewise, you can go to another extent. So when one becomes a yogi, so he is trying to do it in a way. So for example, when you see something, you are labeling it as seeing. When you hear something, you label it as hearing, listening. When you are smelling something, smelling. Tasting something, tasting. When you feel something, feeling. Thoughts are coming, thinking. If you are able to do this kind of a practice, then your mind becomes less entangled with this sense impingement. Because if we are giving too much prominence to this sense data, we get caught. Suppose when you are looking at something, say for example this fan, and if I am giving too much attention to it, now it is RSL, I don't know what it stands for, this is a this brand, that brand, it's tall and I need it, and I better buy it for my home, my house, like that. Too many things are coming when you start to allow your mind to proliferate on it. But if you stop, it's just a fan, that's it. So likewise, we are trying to keep our attention to the surface level. When looking at it, not even, if possible, not even going for the naming, just seeing. When you are listening to something, sound, just sound. Listening. So that is another approach. So where your mind now become less burdened with this different sensual impingement. So you are not much interested about the data, not much interested about the detail. Then suppose you start to develop concentration, and even for that, you are taking certain objects which are not creating new defilements in the mind. Therefore, say for example, breath. So breath is something entirely a neutral object. So it is not like a movie. So when a movie is being seen, so you get caught in it. It's so attractive. But when you start to observe breath, you fall asleep. Because it is so boring. There is nothing there. It's just air movement. So why we are looking at air? Because there is no defilement factor attributed to it. So in order to maintain your attention on air, moving air, you need to have a fair amount of effort developed. Without effort, mind will distract to something enticing. So we are driven by defilements. Our mind is habituated to be with defilements. We get caught with defilement. We are trapped in defilements. So we need fair amount of effort to restrain the mind, to keep it again and again on this kind of a undefiled object, a neutral object, which does not make your mind burn. Rather, it will reduce the defilement, calms you down, and you feel quiet. So it appears very boring, but slowly, when the hindrances are subsided, itself, this process, meditation itself, starts to generate another type of happiness. Niramisa piti or niramisa sukha. that happiness is not born out of sensual pleasure, but this happiness has come through by subsiding the defilement, subsiding the hindrances. So, in certain suttas, Buddha is explaining that the previous method, that when we are engaged in sensual gratification, Buddha is telling, yecha passang, sorry, tesang passa paretanang bhavasota anusarinang kummagga patipannanang ara sanyojanakkhayo. If one has engaged in sensual gratification and constantly becoming, like I said, when eyes are bored, you go for the ears. When ears are bored, you go to the nose. When nose is bored, you go to the tongue. When tongue is bored, say you again going back to eyes. Constantly you are becoming. Constantly you first become listener, then become a seer, then become a smeller, then become a taster. So like this, constantly you are being driven by craving. You are being a slave to these faculties. So that is the wrong path, Buddha says. Kummagga patipannana and ara sanyojanakkhayam. That way, your fetters are increasing and not decreasing. And now Buddha is telling the other side, the opposite. Yecha passang parinyaya anyaya upasame rato teve passa bisamaya nichata parinibbuta. If someone very well understands the contact and he is delighted in appeasement, is delighted in calmness, not the gratification, but the calmness. Teve passabi samaya nichata parinibbuta. And by comprehending contact, become hungerless, craving free, and he become well appeased, peaceful. Because Buddha is telling, whatever the suffering arises, it is arising due to contact. Yankinchi dukkhan sambhoti sabbang passa paccaya. So we are talking about the passayatana, six contacts or six sense bases. So six sense bases are the bases to produce this contact. So when your eye is open, when enough light is available, and if your attention is drawn to a particular object, the eye and the visible object creates the eye consciousness, and that itself creates the eye contact. Similarly, when ear is well and the sound is coming in a particular direction and you draw your attention to that, and then the ear consciousness arise, all coming together is called the ear contact. When nose is well and there's a kind of a smell, and typically through the air the smell is mediated, and there are senses in the nose and you feel the smell. That is the nose consciousness and the nose contact. You are putting some food or drinks or whatever thing on the tongue. Saliva is the medium. And there are senses on the tongue. Different regions are sensitive to different tastes. And you feel taste. Tongue consciousness. The tongue contact. Then the body is available. Each and every cell, you have different pressure contacts, temperature contacts. And that get impinged with the outside potabba, tactile sensations, tactile objects, and then the different pressure points being stimulated, and you feel pressure. You feel some kind of sensation. And these are the five gross contacts. And you can understand it's in a kind of a mechanism. Same thing can happen even in a robot. Now, nowadays, now robotics are coming and artificial intelligence is now daily improving. And you have various different mechanisms available to even to see things better than human eye. Even far distant things, now the built robot can see. In the far distant, very subtle sound, the robot can understand. And he's getting trained, daily get trained, daily being learned. So these five gross things are, gross faculties are now available even in a robot through AI. Now, only thing now they can't put is the mind. Now they have come to that edge. So mind is so tricky and mind has its own objects. So when the five faculties are not available, so it is getting its own object and get trapped to its own object. Manopubbangama dhamma, manosetta manumaya. Manopubbangama dhamma. So mana and dhamma. Mind and the mind objects. Manosetta manomaya. And the mind objects are mind made. So the objects for the mind is given by the mind itself. Kind of a trap. And we feel it is real. When a thought comes to the mind, we feel it is so real. So we start to think about it. Thinking in this direction. So channel is open in that direction. Say for example, you get some kind of a feeling, sensual feeling, and you delighted in it. Some kind of a pleasure arisen, and you are happy about it. Now you start to think. Now the channel is open in that direction. Now another such object is coming. So you think that object. Another similar object is coming. You think that object. Another similar object coming. You think that object. Now we are thinking in the sensual channel. Can even tell sexual channel if you like. Suppose you got some hatred object. You put to that channel. Now another hatred object coming. Now you are start to burn, get trapped in it. Another hateful object coming. You start to think, you get little tight, burn, and another hate object coming. Constantly the hateful objects are coming. Like today's televisions, they have different channels. You all know better than me now. Sports channel are there. So they only show sports channel. Songs channel are there. They only show different songs. Then the news channel is there. They only show news. When you are looking at news, one after another, news. When you are looking at song, one after the other, songs. Our mind operates somewhat similar to that. When you start to think about some sensual object, constantly the sensual objects are coming. So you get caught in it, you get trapped in it, and ultimately you can't remember where did I start. So you can't find the root even. And suppose you start to think about some hatredful object, angry object, then the anger start to increase. Ultimately, you like to go and hit the person. Kind of a sign appears at the beginning, but you put to that channel now. So constantly that object, next object, all our hatredful objects are coming. So this kind of a operation is there in our mind. It's so cheaty, so tricky, so we get trapped. So therefore Buddha says, Yankinchi dukkhan sambhoti sabbang passapaccha. So whatever the suffering, whatever the unsatisfactoriness arising, it is due to this contact. So constantly we are being contact, we are accessing the contact. constantly. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. Then the other way around. If not, mind, mind, mind. Constantly, faculties are operating. So Buddha says, this is the person. So individually we think, so I am this, I am that, I am so and so. So individually are creating our own world, but Buddha says, constantly these different faculties are operating. Like I said, like the computer. So constantly the processor is giving its share to different programs. So when Microsoft Word is given the operation, so it is working. Next, say Outlook. Next, Excel. Next, Web. So likewise, same process, same approach. So we are also very much like the same. So different faculties are there. We are constantly being, these different faculties are operating. Eye faculty operating, ear faculty operating, nose faculty operating, tongue faculty operating, body faculty operating, mind faculty operating. So this is the person according to the Buddha. The beauty is, if one can understand this, if one can see this through wisdom, the results is amazing. So I like to share a beautiful verse coming in Sona Sutta, which is in Anguttara Nikaya, 6th Nipata. Tannakkayadi muttassa asammohancha cetaso. Disva ayatanuppadam samma cittam vimuchyati. So someone who likes to be free from this process. Now he understood. Now rather, even though I am thinking that I am so and so, I am the big person, big shot. Rather than thinking like that, if someone understand, at least even at the beginning logically, this I am just this, the person, I, is nothing but these 6 faculties. He start to observe this process. How I is working, how ear is working. How nose is working, how tongue is working, how body is working, how mind is working. And he understand in a particular time, eye is working. Next the ear is working. Next again maybe the eye is working. Again now tongue is working. Again body is working. Again mind is working. So now his way of looking at things, that perspective becomes different. He is not attributing I to this process. For him, now the faculties are operating, the contact is operating. When he is looking at eyes, his eye contact is operating. When sound is coming to the ear, ear contact is operating. When taste is coming to the tongue, rather the object is coming to the tongue, taste is operating. So he understands the operation of these senses. It is not my sense. It is not I feel, it is the ear is feeling, ear is listening, ear is hearing, eye is seeing, body is feeling. So likewise, so you understand these different individual senses, at a given time, eye is arising and then pass away. Next, ear is arising and pass away. Next, nose is arising and pass away. Again, say eye is arising and passing away. Again, body is arising and passing away. Again, mind is arising and passing away. Again, eye is arising and passing away. Again, body is arising and passing away. If you are looking at this way, where is I? So it is mind-made. So it's constantly one kind of a faculty is arising and passing away. This notion of I is also mind-made. Constantly, if we are observing this process, so Buddha says the defilements are reducing and reducing. That's why, tannakkayadi muttassa, if someone someone's attitude, someone's objective is to remove craving rather than getting trapped in craving, rather than getting enslaved to craving, if he is trying to remove this craving. And asammohancha chetaso. And he likes to keep a mind which is not deluded. As I said, when you are looking at something, if you start to proliferate on it, you get deluded by that. Rather than that, you try to maintain an undeluded mind, unentangled mind, free from proliferation. If your mind has that kind of a capacity, kind of a quiet mind, then the quiet mind can see how eyes arising and passing away at a given time. Then how the ear is arising and passing away at another time. Again, eye is arising and passing away at another time. Again, now tongue is arising and passing away. And you see constantly, there is nothing else. Different faculties are arising and passing away. Different sense bases are arising and passing away. Each sense base is contacted with its respective external object according to the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, tongue consciousness, respective consciousness arising and passing away. Respective contact arising and passing away. So you understand this process. So if you understand this process, do you feel passionate about this process or you feel dispassionate about this process? So you feel dispassionate about this process. You understand this is a delusion, this is an illusion. And you like to be free from this illusion. That's why it's saying, Disva ayatunuppadam. When you see this arising and passing away of these different sense bases, samma chittam vimuchyati. So your mind becomes free from defilements. This is what Venerable Sona, after becoming an arahant, is telling to Buddha. If one can see this process, this very seeing of arising and passing away of the sense bases is a way to Nibbana. So this beautifully again said in Kinsukopama Sutta, which comes in Majjhima Nikaya. There one arahant is telling, Yatoko auso bhikkhu channang passayatana nang samudayancha attagamancha yathabhutam pajanati ettavatako auso bhikkhuno dassanang suvisuddhang hoti. Basically what he says is, if one can see these six sense bases, six sense contact bases are arising and passing away, very well he is seeing it as it truly is. Ettavatako auso bhikkhuno dasanang suvisuddhang hoti. That itself, that very thing is enough to have a proper understanding, have a proper sammaditti, clear vision in his mind. So there are different ways that Buddha has given us to understand the reality or to purify our mind. So understanding these six sense bases, understanding this six contact is one method actually. In meditation, this is one aspect or one way, one method available to improve wisdom, arise wisdom. And there are certain meditation techniques, specially designed to touch this aspect. Understanding that this person is not really a person, not really a I, rather it's arising and passing away of different sense bases at a given time. And more you see it by yourself, you feel dispassionate about the process. More and more the defilements become free and less, and mind can be free. So, if we can have faith on this approach, rather than getting trapped in the sensual objects, when we are looking at form, when we are hearing certain sounds, when you are feeling certain smells, when you are going through certain taste, if we can avoid proliferating on it, if we can avoid making stories out of it, if we can maintain some calm mind, quieten mind, and if we can see arising and passing away of these senses, it's a really good meditation practice, really good vipassana. So with that final note, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Thank you very much for listening. Today there's a small sharing of merits. Lunch dana was provided by please offer birthday blessings to Nandula Jayamaha and Daniela Rajapaksha. So someone has offered dana during the lunch, so commemorating their birthdays. And again the breakfast dana, Dinesha, okay, Dinesha's son on his birthday, Janit Lenage, yeah, Lenage. So we'll share these merits. So the whole day all of you have observed higher sila, and again participated to a Dhamma discussion, and again listened to Dhamma sermon, and again develop mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. So this way we are able to accrue a lot of merits. So let's share these merits with all the past devil relatives, all the seen and unseen beings, and all the celestial beings. Again, we especially share or wish good wishes to these people who have contributed to our alms. And again, we'll wish, let these merits help us to understand Buddha's teaching. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Kasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam param. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, sorry to disturb you. So, there's a special well wishes or good wish attributed to one of the retreat organizers. And she is supposed to go through a surgery on next Wednesday. So, we all can have some 1 minute metta, 1 minute good wishes. So, we all have accumulated a lot of merits. And she's a co-practitioner with us and helped us a lot in organizing retreats and being an example of a good practitioner. So may she have a successful operation And may the doctors and the nurses and all find their peace of mind during the operation. And may the drugs, the medicine, become well suited to her disease, to her operation. And let her join with us again in this Kalalgoda and again in Meethirigala to practice and to for the spiritual development, to be free from suffering. Let's have just 1 minute sharing of metta, wishing good wishes to our friend. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for loving kindness. And let's wish that she'll join with us after the operation at Kalalgoda as well as in Meethirigala. Thank you very much.